everybody. How are you doing? This is the Clubhouse. It's me, your main man. Actually, not really, but just the guy filling in for BMAC once again. The man with the plan isn't here again. He's still on hiatus. He will be back soon. BMAC, we miss you. Please make your return because I can't lead these shows much longer. It's me, Gav, alongside Mr. The Man himself, the chef, cooking up a storm. HB, how you doing? How you doing, HB?
Doing great, man. Doing great.
How's the Monday been? How's the Monday been? Good start to the week.
Great. I love Mondays.
Oh, yeah, man. Monday is the best day of the week. I'm telling you, it's the best day of the week. Get your week off on the right note, set the right tone for the week. But anyway, enough about that. Today, we're here to talk about Super Rugby. So, guys, this week, we're just going to do a Super Rugby kind of preview for each of the franchises. Today, we're going to start off with the Blues. We're actually going in alphabetical order. surprise, surprise. But we're going to start off with the Blues today. Obviously, they played over the weekend, had a good look at what they were doing, pretty impressed. But yeah, we're going to break it down. This week, we're going to start off today with the Blues. Yes. Well, mention something about them later. We're going to start off with the Blues today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow will be the Chiefs and the Crusaders. And then we've got the Highlanders. And then finally with the Hurricanes finishing last. Hopefully.
Not this year.
This season. Hopefully that's the way things will go this season. But anyway, I'm not a Canes hater. Believe me. I love the Surveyor guys. They're legends. But anyway, so the Blues, they had a really good year last year, really good year, and
it was a good comeback.
It gave a lot of people some hope, and the funny thing is, the good thing about the way they played last year was that there were a lot of closet Blues fans, you know, because you know how it is, when the team isn't performing well,
shut up,
just jump on the bandwagons and stuff. There were a lot of closet Blues fans out there that just decided to reveal themselves. I'm not going to name names, Costadina. There were quite a few guys who were hiding in the shadows, you know, who were all about the Crusaders, all about the Canes. Then all of a sudden, Bodie goes to the Blues, brings in a whole bunch of bandwagon jumpers with him. But they had a really good year last year. I think, you know, they've been building for a while. They'd been through a lot. And last year, we started to really see some light at the end of the tunnel. The system was starting to work. Bringing in Leon McDonald was an absolute masterstroke.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tana, while he was great, while he was an awesome coach, I think the head coach role was a bit too much pressure on him because he was trying to manage a lot, you know. Obviously, the Blues have got a lot of Pacifica players, and relationships are really important to the Pacifica boys. I've been fortunate enough to play with a few Samoan guys, Tongans, Maori fellas. Been coached by a couple of Maoris as well. Relationships are so key and so important for those guys, you know, and it becomes draining almost when you're in an environment where you've got to focus hard on building those relationships, helping these guys feel comfortable and build connections as a team. And then you've got the pressure of coordinating, you know, of steering the ship and from a training point of view, from a coaching, scheduling, management point of view.
To achieve your goals.
So Tana was spread really, really thin. And bringing Leon McDonald actually helped him really to just take that little bit of a step back and focus on the real background stuff that needed to be done, you know. And what that allowed things to do was to just build on the wonderful foundation that he'd laid. And it was really, really good how they handled it, you know. So the synergy in that coaching group is fantastic. That's one thing I will say. Ben Tamiyafuna, I don't know if you guys remember him. He was a prop for the Chiefs. He went to Racing Metro, played for Tonga as well. Man weighs about 160 kilos. was in there helping the Blues out with their scrummaging. And of course, man, like, as we're going to see when we go through the ins and outs, yo, they've got their pack is just as monstrous. Like, they, you know, they've recruited pretty well. So yeah, I think they've got the right mix. Bowden Barrett in there as well last year, and Dan Carter as well. You know, a lot of people thought DC was going to come in more from a playing point of view. I think, to be honest with you, what was done really well was to bring him in,
yeah,
as a sort of mentor coach. So okay, it was him almost doing his apprenticeship in coaching at the Blues. You know, and I really think that's what it was, because you could just tell, you know, when he was chatting to Bowden Barrett and the impact he was having. It was almost like a more hands-on approach to coaching. Like, you're training together and you're like, okay, fine, if you're kicking into the left hand corner for space, you know, this is how I want you to do it. Instead of telling him, he would be showing him. Mm-hmm. And walking him through that technique. So it was a more hands-on approach, which I really think was a good ploy, and it worked in their favor. So let's just take a quick look at the ins and outs. I've got them in front of me here. Give me a second.
Okay, right, well, up.
I had
Pull
them
up.
In front of me here. I had them in front of me here. Give me a second. Okay,
While you're pulling that up, I think the Blues really last year surprised a lot of people. You're right, eh? People had begun to count them out as like the side. They became the Western Force of New Zealand rugby.
Wow.
That's how so bad mean. It was looking, man. It was. And last year, thank whoever that they came back up, you know, and they became a force to be reckoned with. It's really incredible work that was done by the coaching staff and everyone else on that team.
Yeah, totally. I think you're 100% right there. And the main sort of the big thing, as like we just touched on, it was about connections and just allowing players to be themselves in that environment, which is really, really key. I mean, everyone makes fun of the peroxide blonde and the pink hairdos and all of that, but that's just the boys. That was just them just expressing themselves. Just be yourself, man. If you want to have funky hair, have funky hair. It's all right. Just do what you got to do on the pitch.
Just
but anyway,
perform.
So yeah, just perform. So just looking at the ins and outs here. I mean, the Blues they've recruited relatively well. Mm-hmm. I mean, No, they made one really, really big signing, which is Nepo Laulala. So Nepo Laulala is a tight end prop. He's come over from the Chiefs. He's left the Tron.
Number three.
Very annoying. Yep, number three, tight end prop. An All Black, really good All Black as well. So again, that's just going to add more, you know, more punch to that already formidable Blues pack, you know. And now you've got Tuinukuafe, mm-hmm, Eklund, and Laulala. That is a scary front row. Formidable. Expect to see some really good scrummaging out of them. Another good signing for them as well is Jacob Ratumatavuki Niepkins, who is a winger. He came from Taranaki, moved across from the Naki. Really good finisher, strong finisher. Played New Zealand under 20, played New Zealand schools. He was in the seven setup. Really, really good player. They've also picked up in the backs, they've picked up again AJ Lamb, younger brother of Ben Lamb. Now, seeing that kid playing for Auckland, man, that kid is big, he is strong, he is quick, and he is elusive. Extremely elusive. He's more of, he's like an Ali Malo type player, nice and tall, really good under the high ball. So expecting some really good things if and when he gets his chance. And they've also brought in Zahn Sullivan, younger brother of Baylen Sullivan.
Yeah, yeah. Fullback position.
Good 15, man. And he can also play 10. Good skill set. Great kind of awareness and vision. Elusive again, and one of those guys who is deceptively quick, actually. Deceptively quick. I mean, so they've brought in, they've recruited pretty well, actually. A lot of youth, a lot of guys getting, you know, getting their first kind of, their first bite at it. But again, like I said, their marquee signing right there is Nipo Laulala, because he is going to be, he's going to be massive for them. He's going to be massive. And I think the Blues, come scrum time, are going to be really kind of scary. Obviously, they've lost, the big loss is Bowden Barrett. They've also lost Matt Duffy.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone to Japan. Jordan Hyland. Tony Lambourne, who I was really surprised. You know, Tony Lambourne had a great season for Southland. I don't know if you were watching the Mitre 10 Cup. Southland had a... Because, you know, Southland are usually like... They just usually just lose every game.
Okay.
You literally just lose every game. But they won a fair few. They won about 5 or 6 during the season. They played really, really well. They toppled a few premiership sides. So, and he was the captain. So I was pretty surprised that, you know, he didn't make the cut. I'm guessing he's in and around like the extended squad. Hopefully he gets a chance to come in there. And of course, James Parsons, another huge, he's a big loss now. He's a really big loss. He was the hooker, real staunch, really big member of the leadership group. Obviously he's had to retire. He's had complications with concussions. So James Parsons is a big loss, but you know, the good thing is that Kurt Eklund was on the rise anyway. He was on the rise. So this is going to be, they've done fairly well. I mean, they've held on to some really good players. Now, you know, as I was saying, HB, their pack is, man, I'm just looking at the list of forwards, man. Like, their pack is scary. We're talking front row, okay? They've got Alex Hodgman, all black. Nepo Laulala, all black. Kyle Turinukuafe, all black. Ofatoinga Fassi, all black. So they've got four. And then they've got Kurt Eklund, New Zealand Maori. They've got five. Five, you know, guys who've had a go at the really top level. Five of their front rowers have had a go at the really top level, which is pretty good. That is some awesome depth. Obviously, in the second row, they've got Kauli Tuioti. They've got Josh Goodyear, who is getting better and better and better. They brought in young Sam Darry from Canterbury. He's looking like a really handy player. Very young. I think he's about 20, but he could build. He could build. Definitely one for the future. They've got good old Paddy T and Skipper, obviously. We know all about him. Big, mean, physical guy. So, you know, they're tight five. Whew. Yeah, there's some real firepower there. And then when you look at their back row, I mean, man.
Robinson.
They've got the Ginger Viking. Got Robinson. They've got Sututu. They've got Akira Ioane. They've got Hunt. Dylan Hunt's come over from the Highlanders. They've got Blake Gibson, who tackles everything with his face. but you know, he gets stuck in. And they've got
Plumtree.
They've got Dalton Papali'i. And they've got Tane Plumtree. Tane Plumtree, son of John Plumtree. He came over from Wellington. He had a good season as well in Mitre 10 Cup. So they've got a pretty nasty bunch of forwards, you know. Really nasty bunch. And what I like about it is they're all grafters, you know. They're all really hard workers. So I'm expecting some good things from their forward pack. I think they're gonna take it to a few teams, you know.
Put in the work.
Yeah, man, I think they're gonna take it to a few teams. Looking at their backs, I mean, the backs are pretty solid. I mean, they've got depth for days. I mean, if you look at their scrum halves, they've got three solid scrum halves. They've got the Ginger Nugget Finley Christie, they've got Sam Nock
and Jonathan Ruru. Yeah.
And Jonathan
Ruru is
Yeah, he's a savage, man.
Yeah. You see, it's incredible how like number nines are becoming a pivotal part of a lot of teams.
Well, they always were. They always were in the spine. They always were pretty. They always were important. But
like when you look at your Favre, de Klerks, and the guy from France, I think what you're finding now is that they are really getting in there. Favre puts in a lot of work for a nine.
Yeah.
Right, the guy from France, his offload game, his work rate, you find that scrum halves are becoming like they are the unseen attack vector that a lot of teams are going to be using, I think.
Not even just an attack. I think defensively, what you're starting to see a lot of is nines actually getting in the front line of defense, is plugging those holes a lot more around the ruck, especially on the short side. They're plugging those gaps a lot more often, which, you know, back in the day, you wouldn't really see. By back in the day, I mean 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah,
you wouldn't see it as often. You'd see the nine kind of marshalling that space in behind the breakdown. But a lot of the time now, when he sees that the short side, there's even just a little sniff of numbers on the short side, man will just step in on that short side, and when he steps in, they're actually really physical.
Yeah.
Really, really physical. I mean, de Klerk, we all know, he's so physical. DuPont as well. When he steps in, he's going to make a big hit. Straight. And when he makes his hit, his recovery from that is so good. He doesn't get trapped in the bottom of the ruck. He just gets hit. He just makes the hit, goes down, bounces out, he's back in the line. And what you'll see from the depth here that the Blues have is, all three of these nines have that ability. They're very nuggety, kind of. They like to get stuck in. They like to get a bit physical, get it in your face, you know. So this is, they're set at nine. At 10, mm-hmm. they've got Otere Black, who we all know, you know, yep. he grew last season. He was growing game by game. You know, he was just loving it, controlling, goal kicking really well, so expecting a lot from him. They've got Perifeta, who I have a sneaky suspicion is going to start off playing at fullback, because he's run at fullback before. He was running last year at fullback as well, and preseason he was also running at 15. So they've got Perifeta there, and they've got Harry Plummer, who, young guy, getting better and better and better. So, you know, at 10, they seem pretty. They're pretty stacked.
Experience.
In the midfield, they've got, as always, TJ Fayani, solid player, mm-hmm. really solid. They've got Rico Ioane, who, again, as we know, is developing more and more into that kind of top class 13. He just needs, obviously, to work on it's a work in progress, as we discussed last week. It's a work in progress, but he's developing nicely. He had some really good touches over the weekend. Really, really good touches. And then they've got Tanyelu Telia, who again is just, he's a tricky one, because he provides a good balance, because he more than likely would cover 12 and 13. So he's got the ability to be quite abrasive and aggressive,
mm-hmm.
but he's also got he also picks some really interesting lines. So what you can see is, I guess depends on who they're playing against and that kind of thing. But you'd see him, I'd expect to see him, barring injuries, coming in off the bench last 20 minutes, just upping that intensity, being abrasive, running good lines, and causing a bit of havoc and chaos in and around that.
Okay.
And then, man, when we're talking, back three, man. Like,
wait. Why are you leaving out for my?
Who?
Neria for my.
Oh, for my. Yes, sorry. I haven't seen much of him, to be honest. That's why I left him out. I haven't really seen too much of him, to be perfectly honest with you.
Okay.
That's why I left him out. But when we move on to
back three,
to the back three,
there are problems here, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be tricky because I mean Caleb Clark, we know all about him.
Can AJ Lamb? We need to come back to Mfana Clark. Go on, we need to come back to Mfana Clark.
Yeah, true. And then we've got AJ Lamb, who we just spoke about. Joan Masalai, good player, man, from Northland. Good finisher. He's had a few like issues with injury, but he's a good player. Very good player. Imori Narawa, good player as well. Bay of Plenty, finisher of note. This dude can finish and finish really, really well. He was really pivotal in how him and Caleb Trask. I know Caleb Trask is at the Chiefs, but him and Caleb Trask were just so good at creating and finishing off opportunities, you know, for Bay of Plenty. They were really, really good. I'm actually surprised that he wasn't offered by the Chiefs, because the Bay of Plenty coach is actually head coach of the Chiefs, so I don't understand. He's actually coaching at the Chiefs, so I'm pretty surprised by that. Ratumai Tuvuki Neepkins, of course, good finisher, solid young man, learning, building, but again, loads of talent. Zahn Sullivan, again, we spoke about him, well-balanced player, creative, smart, composed, expecting a heck of a lot from him.
Mm-hmm.
He really was one of the top performers for Auckland. And then we've got the slippery fish, the man who is deceptively strong. This guy's fin is always catching defenders off guard, because people think they're going to smoke him. Then bang, all of a sudden, fin to the chest. Someone sitting on their ass. Their eyes are big and wide, and they're acting as if they don't know what just happened. But the guy I'm talking about is Mark Talia. He is fantastic. Great player. Really good player. There were whispers last year of him possibly getting a call up to the All Blacks. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. But he's got a point. I think he'll be desperate to prove a point. Really desperate to prove a point. So it's going to be interesting what back three kind of combination you'd come up with here. But I think they've got a good blend of experience. They've got a good blend of youth. And yeah, so you said Caleb Clark. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to mention?
So Caleb Clark reminds me of Rico Ioane. When Rico Ioane came onto the scene, he had a moveset that was effective against a bunch of teams. And it took a while for teams to learn how to deal with him and shut him down. Which is why I think he moved from his wing role to his 13. But now with Clark came in last year. He was steamrolling people. He's been doing wonderful things at sevens. Do you think teams have got an answer to him this year? Because he's a big, strong lad. Of course, he's the son of Ian Clark himself. He's got rugby in his veins. He's been doing wonderful things, but I worry that, you know, teams are going to have an answer for him real quick unless he develops something new.
Oh, you're talking second season syndrome.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
look at Severis. Severis.
No, Severis still class, mate.
He's still class, yes, but not like that first season. That first season, he was unbelievable. He was taking out guys. He was running through people. He was scoring in the corner. He had it all.
Yeah, predictably, I think people do kind of figure you out in a sense, or they try and nullify parts of your game. But where the evolution really is you actually use that to your advantage and use it to create space for other people, which is what Severis ended up starting to do. He started to create opportunities for people around him. So he'd be coming in off his wing, not necessarily to score, but to make the line break and then create opportunities. Like, for one that springs to mind almost instantly is the try scored by George Bridge. Came off his wing, made a line break up the middle, threw a wide pass. Wasn't the best pass. It dipped a little bit too much. He got a bit too much topspin on it. And then George Bridge ended up kicking it on the half volley and then darting down. But that's just an example of you bring someone in to make the bust and create space for other people. So in terms of Caleb Clark, I think that's where you're going to see a lot from him. Is he's going to be making those line breaks. and still and creating that space. I mean, as much as you can say people have figured him out, this man is 6'2". He's 6'2" and 105 kilos.
Yeah,
and has plenty of pace. There's only you can only wrap that up so much, because even if you put two people on him, that means there's someone out there that's unmarked. There's someone who's got space. Do you get what I'm saying?
I get you.
So where I feel he needs to kind of, where I feel like he needs to just improve a little bit, or where he could stand to in my opinion, obviously, where I feel he could stand to evolve a little bit is more his kind of his aerial ability and his kicking game.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen much of that from him. Partly because, man, when you're that size, that big, that strong, that fast, and you're swatting people away like mosquitoes, you know, bro, like, there's no need for you to develop that other stuff. But, I mean, he can still work on it, and it can still be developed. It can still be worked on. I think he's 21. He's 22, sorry, this year. He's young. There's so much time to build, to create something special there. There's so much time to build on the skills to, you know, that he could conceivably have an 11-year career in the All Blacks. And I'm not talking of him playing exclusively on the wing. You could then start to move him in to the midfield, much like Ma Nonu, because Ma Nonu was a winger. Blockbuster wing. When he started, he was on the wing anyway. He'd come on, he'd run over people, he'd bang, 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 you know,
yeah,
the Canes. And then he started to evolve. Then he started to move into the midfield. And then you could tell he's a good midfield player. Then they started developing bits and pieces of his game, his passing game, his kicking game. Till 2015, that's when he was the complete player. At the age of 33, I think he was 32, 33, that's when he reached his peak. His kicking game was on point. His running game was on point. His distribution was on point. So you've got this amount of time to work with Caleb Clark to get him to reach that point. So he could have that type of career if he keeps evolving.
Let's hope he does. You know,
let's hope he does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so we've looked at the ins and the outs for the Blues. And first game, they're playing against the Hurricanes on Saturday, I mm-hmm. believe. You know, the Hurricanes haven't had the best preseason. They lost heavily against the Highlanders. They also got a couple of injuries. There's a couple of guys who are now out for a while.
Yep.
Can't remember who. Simon Hickey's out.
Fayani, Hunt.
Yeah.
Narawa.
Yeah, they've got a few guys who are out for a while. At the Hurricanes, who are injured. So what's happening now is, you know,
I was naming Blues players. Sorry.
No, the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes are the ones who've got some injuries. They got some injuries throughout preseason. They haven't had a good run of form. Game of three halves 2 weeks ago, they lost both halves they played, and obviously they lost heavily to the Landers. So it's going to be an interesting one. I think the Hurricanes will come out firing, but I think the Blues pack is far too strong. I think their pack will be too much for the Canes to handle. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll leave Savia with a lot of work to do. Savia, Almua, Fifita, it'll leave them with a lot of work to do. But it's going to be one hell of a game, one hell of a season opener, because the matchups that you just have in that match are insane. I mean, you got literally straight shootout, Fifita and Ioane, for example, for number six. You know, that's a straight shootout. You've got Eklund and Almua. Yes, Almua is in the All Black squad at the moment, but Eklund's coming up. You know, Kurt mm-hmm. Eklund's coming up. And then you've got Sututu and Adi. Straight shootout. I mean, So there are a lot of matchups there on the there are a lot of big matchups, but I just feel that that Blues pack will have too much, for the Hurricanes, you know. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting game, but I think the Blues will win it. But we'll see. We'll do our preview show anyway.
Yeah,
so yeah, Blues looking good. What where do you think they'll finish in the table?
HB? Second.
Ooh, you wreck it.
Because I'm not counting the Chiefs this year. I'm sorry, guy.
You're a hater.
I'm not counting the Chiefs this year. And
you don't know what you're talking about.
Look, the Canes have an interesting recovery story this year, so maybe they'll be third. But the Blues, I'm thinking second. I think that they had a good run last year, and they want to keep it going. I think they have a lot of hope built up from last year that they can keep it going. They used to be a proud team, eh? With a lot of good players, a lot of good wins.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure they're keen to get back to that standing.
Yeah, they built quite a legacy for themselves. So, yeah, look, head says second. You know, my head's saying, you know, these guys are gonna come second. They're gonna do pretty well this year. My heart, because I hate every team that's not the Chiefs, says they'll come third. Okay, not that I hate, but like, you know, I'm a Chiefs fan, so my heart says they'll come third. But head says they'll come second. I think that pack, you know, yeah, that'll push them pretty far. So yeah, we'll see how they go. And I think that's about it today for the Blues.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, tune in next time for the Chiefs and the Crusaders. Yes, I will do the Chiefs. Epico Etanifa. We're the surprise package. I'm telling you, man. This is our year. We are the surprise package. We just announced our co-captains, the janitor, which is Brad Weber. He's the janitor. And Sam Kane are the co-captains this year for the Chiefs. But we'll do our little preview for the Chiefs.
You guys are about to hurt Sam tomorrow. Kane's heart.
Mate. The best player in New Zealand belongs to the Chiefs. What are you talking about? He was the best player in that All Blacks team. By far, last year.
And they lost.
Outperformed everybody. What do you mean, and they lost?
The World Cup.
They won the championship. They won the championship. And they won the Bledisloe.
That was a good championship series, though, hey?
Nah, man. Nah.
I enjoyed that one. Maybe it's because there wasn't much rugby last year and I was just eager to watch anything. But I enjoyed that last championship.
Yeah, I think where the All Blacks needed to work was on consistency of performance, but also I think the selections. There were some dubious ones there. But, you know, that remains to be seen. Anyway, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. Tomorrow, we will be doing the Chiefs and the Crusaders, which coincidentally are going to come first and second in this year's Super Rugby Aotearoa. Yes, you heard it first. I said it. I'm not going to take it back. Hopefully, we'll get the man of mystery, Mr. B-Mac, to join us tomorrow. I don't know. Only time will tell. Apart from that, guys, everybody stay safe. Mask up. Stay out of trouble. And yeah, let's fight this corona thing. Hopefully, we'll beat it soon. Thanks. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.